it's lovely to see you. And he's rather looking. Feels a bit weird back in the saddle after a few weeks, but I've got something in my heart. Can somebody get me some water, actually, please? That would be really helpful. We had a really good time. One of the interesting things that happens whenever you preach and whenever you lead a church is people have this expectation of you. I remember when we first started this church, 7 or 8 years ago, whatever it is now, and we had the, you know, I would go away on holiday, and people would go, I wonder what the Lord's going to speak to him about. It's almost like I'm going to win my holiday, and like this is where it's going to get really amazing because the Lord's going to give me these downloads. And I used to go away on holiday and feel really under pressure, right? Because generally, get those two mixed up, whenever I go away on holiday, the biggest concern for me is to have my factor 50 on, right? And will I have red wine or white wine with my dinner tonight? I mean, that's as taxing as it gets for me. And over the years, what I've learned to do is just to rest and relax, knowing that God has it all in control. And so I went away, and Penny, thank you very much. Penny often thinks that I'm not even a Christian because she says, you know, have you read your Bible today, Andrew? Yes, dear. You know, actually, I have. Are you sure? Yes, I have read my Bible. What are you reading? He's like, shut up. All right? You're not the Holy Spirit. I know you think you're the Holy Spirit, but you're not. All right? And isn't that right, sweetheart? And it's good to be back on the stage because you get to say all the things that you've been thinking. But what's interesting is that I actually went away this year going, Lord, you know what? We've had an unbelievably busy 6 months with church, business, traveling, stuff, Grace Alliance in Europe, and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought, I'm just going to go and chill out. And through the whole sort of 2 or 3 weeks, I didn't feel any pressure. But the Lord kept speaking this one thing to me, just one verse. And this is the thing that cracks Penny up, because there should be chapter and verse when you're a pastor and a leader. But he just kept reminding me of one thing. And I'm going to preach on it. It's from the book of Galatians, actually. Well, the verse that the Lord gave me was not from the book of Galatians, it was from Corinthians, but it made me think I actually want to preach my way through this, because every day I've had this sense of, you know, Lord, what is it that you are saying to me, other than relax and enjoy yourself too, because you're on your break? And it was 1 Corinthians 2:2, and it was the words of Paul, and he said this, for I decided to know nothing amongst you except Christ and him crucified. I resolved to know nothing apart from Christ and him crucified. And the Lord just kept speaking this to me, and then I looked it up in the message, and he said this, I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, and then what he did. Jesus crucified. He said, I deliberately keep it really plain and simple. And the Lord started to speak to me as I was coming back, because I've got a really busy 6 months in front of me, traveling, all the rest of everything that we did in the first 6 months multiplied again into the next 6 months. And it's going to be an exciting time for church when we get everyone back and we get going in September, all that sort of stuff. But the Lord kept speaking to me, and he said, Andrew, keep it really plain and simple. And there's a layer to this. And when we get into the book of Galatians, what we're going to see is that there is a layer that goes beyond what Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. And I'm saying to you this morning, over these next 6 months, as we get through the year, over the hump of this year, are you going to keep it really plain and simple? Because actually, your freedom in Christ depends on that verse. And that's what the whole book of Galatians is about. And I find myself going, okay, because I really need to decide. The word krino here is, when he says I resolve, it's the word krino, you know, where anakrino is condemnation, when we talked about that. At our root, it's we're judged to be wrong, okay? So that same word krino is, I make a judgment and I make a choice. So what Paul was saying was this, I make a choice, krino. I make a choice and I judge that I'm only going to look at Christ, who he is, and what he has done. That's it. And then he starts to explain why that is the gospel and there's no other gospel. And I find it really liberating for me, because day after day I would sit there on the sunbeds, all right? Just imagine that, me lathered up, head to foot, factor 50, Speedos on, budgie smugglers, all right? And that's a brand, by the way, okay? So I've got my budgie smugglers on, head to foot, factor 50, shades, all right? And it's brilliant for the first week. Isn't it? It's fantastic. And then as you get into the second week of your break, you start to go, flip, I've got this to do, I've got that to do. when it comes to church. Like, what are we going to do about this issue, that issue, the other issue, business, home, the next? All of that stuff comes to mind. And the Lord said, are you going to decide to keep it simple? What are you going to do? Because this gospel is so simple. And what are you going to decide to do? It's either going to be Jesus, who he is and what he has done, again, reminding myself of what that means, or it's going to be you carrying the weight and the burden, and that's always a bit of a disaster. Isn't that right? And so I want to challenge and encourage you, because in the book of Galatians, most people think that Paul is giving the church a kicking here. I don't think that it is. The tone, when we look in the original language, is strong, but it's not born out of frustration and anger, because this is a guy who has got the heart of a father. And in the way that when he writes the book of Romans, which is his masterpiece on grace, the theological masterpiece, Galatians is the practical outworking of what that grace looks like in a group of people who have lost their way. You see, for you and for me over these next 6 months, in the end of 2017, a year of victory, there's only one of two options. Whether it's in your church, whether it's in your business, whether it's in your home, you're going to carry the weight, the burden, you're going to put your head down and work dead hard, or you're going to learn to rest, be fruitful, be conscious and enjoy the goodness of God and the multiplication of God in your life, but that will only come, according to the book of Galatians and Paul writing there, when it's Jesus, who he is, and what he did. And he decided. Here's a guy who had tons of stuff going on. He decided real early, I'm going to keep it dead simple. And so as I lay there on my bed in all my beauty and glory, okay, I look good. See, when you strip this off, this is good. All right? Oh, dear. I thought to myself, Andrew, I need to get back and remind myself. It's interesting that he uses the word, you get to choose this, folks. You get to choose. Today, when you walk out of here, you get to choose Jesus, who he is and what he has done, or you get to choose a funny mixture of the two. Yeah, Jesus, you've done that, but this is what I'm going to bring. And what we're going to see in the book of Galatians is everything that we bring is born out of what he has done and not the other way around. And there's lots of different facets to this book as he starts to practically outwork. I'm just going to look at chapter 1 today, because that's increasingly where I want to be found. Am I going to choose to be conscious of Jesus, who he is and what he has done? Or will I be conscious of my own effort moving into these next 6 months? I think in my own life, and I think in the life of this church, we are a group of people who are getting much quicker beholding Jesus. I think I get that sense from when I talk to people. I don't want to be the guy who comes to the Lord only after I've exhausted my own effort. Or do you know what's even worse? When we mix the two and we go, God loves me, so now what? I'm going to do this and I'm going to bring, and the Lord just goes, actually, seriously, it's not going to work. It doesn't work like that. And so this is a simple word, but as I said to you many times, the most simple words are often the most difficult, because we want to make it complicated. It appeals to our nature at times to go, make this, give me the cool stuff, Andrew, make it really, like, let's just, I don't know what that is, okay? And actually, it's really simple. Paul, in all of his stuff, dealing with all these churches, taking this gospel, just goes, you know something? There's lots of stuff happening here when he's writing it at this point in Corinth. But he just goes, I came to a point of realization where I had to choose to keep it simple. It's who he is and what he has done. And I resolve, he says, to know nothing but. And I find in my own life so many times, even as I'm lying there on the beach and left to my own devices, my head and my heart starts to go to, what am I going to do? What do we need to? What has to happen? What's the next thing? And the Lord going, will you rest and know nothing except me first? And you kind of go, well, how does that work? Well, we're going to look at that, because Paul talks about that. He goes on to talk about faith and fruit and all sorts of stuff, and it's going to be a blast. We're going to like it. Actually, I had this, I've said to you many times, how that works out for me at the minute is that whenever I start to, you all understand what it's like when you start to feel a weight of something? You know when your head starts to think about something and then you start to feel it? No? Okay, this is where you need to help me this morning by going, yes, Andrew. All right, awesome. So we start to think about, let's think about work, or you think about ministry, you think about whatever. Thought comes into your head and you go, oh, flip. Yeah? And I've said to you, at that point, that's where I start to go, I've now, and we're going to see it in this book, come out of grace, and I'm now back under law. Because his burden is always light. Right? And so whenever I feel that, what I know is that I'm carrying something that I'm not meant to carry, so I need to go back to the Lord to receive. Okay? Whether it's ministry, work, business, whatever it happens to be. I was reminded of that this week, actually, just a bit of a testimony for you. There's a big bank here called Citibank. They're an American bank, and I've done a bit of work in there. And there's one particular company, one guy, who has the thing sewn up, okay, in terms of what we do, people and people development, organizational development stuff. And he contacted, I was facilitating something with another business, and one of his directors was there. I thought, this is interesting, but it was over a month ago. And he said to me at the end of the session, he said, we want to speak to you. And I was like, Lord, this is awesome, right? Get in touch with us because we have some stuff that we want to talk about. So I said, that's cool. Now, I phoned him, emailed him, went to my holiday, phoned and emailed, got no response. I was like, flipping heck, this could be brilliant, right? And I was like, I started to feel that uptight sort of, no, seriously? You know what I mean? Like, this has got to work out. So I emailed again, no response. So on Wednesday night, this happened this week, I was sitting there and because this is what happens. This is what goes on in their life. You sit watching the telly with your wife or whatever, or you're doing your shopping, and you're sitting there and it's still going around your head, and you can feel it. Anyone get that? All right? So we're not switched off at all. We're not resting and relaxing because our head's going. And I felt the Lord go, you've done all you can do, now let it go. All right? Nothing but Christ in him. So just in my head, I went, right, Lord, I've done what I can do. And that's it. So I kept watching Pole Dark. Don't judge me. And do you know what? Can I just say, it's not often that I would go for a series with Men in Breeches, but Penny used to watch this as I watched the rugby. And I have to say, I am a total fan. If I could get a Pole Dark t-shirt, I love Ross, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Okay? If I could be a man, I would want to be like Ross. All right? He is gorgeous. But seriously, anyone watch Pole Dark? There's a confession for you this morning. Seriously. Anyway, I digress, right? So Penny and I are cuddling up watching Pole Dark. I wondered why Penny loved that show so much. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, so we're watching, catching up on Pole Dark, which was awesome. And I just went to bed. And I got up the next morning, got into the car, was literally out my drive, and the phone went. And it wasn't even this guy, it was his boss, the big guy. I went, hey, really want to connect with you. Can I meet with you in the next week? Because we've got some really good stuff that we want to talk about. And I went, Lord, aren't you amazing? Right? Over my holiday, it bothered me. I tried to push it. I tried to make it happen. And it just, door shut in my face. When I got home, I wasn't resting. Door shut in my face. The Lord goes, will you let it go and trust? If it's for you, I'm going to work it out. But you need to take some trust in me. Who he is, what he has done, he's his provider. He's the one who opens doors. Get that? So I let it go. Literally in my heart, I was at peace. And then boom, the next morning, they call to go, we're going to meet because we've got some really great stuff that we're going to do. Isn't that amazing? I resolved to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. When I felt my peace go, I chose Jesus. I chose to lean in and know and lean into what I know about him. Lean into what I understand about who he is. And in that moment go, I'm just going to let that one go. And then the Lord brings it back. Isn't that good? That's what this whole book's about, actually. This is not about Paul beating the life out of the church. This is about Paul saying, look, if you really want to know true freedom, because he goes on to say that in Galatians 5. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Okay? Don't put yourself under slavery. The biggest yoke that we have today in Christ is not the yoke of sin. Okay? It's the yoke of self-effort. It's the yoke of Jesus plus. It's the yoke of bondage that comes from I need to do in order for God to move for me, and you don't need to do anything. Your hand, your faith does not move God. He is moved by love. That's what the word says. And your faith is a response to the way that he loves you. Every single time. And in Galatians, that's what Paul is going to get really head up about. He gets dead frustrated, but it's born out of passion. And so for you this morning, if you've been sitting going, you know, over this next 6 months, I want to move on from where I am. I want to see more than what I've seen right now. I want to live in the goodness and the fullness of God. I want to see fruitfulness in my home, in my work, and in my ministry. Then this is a great series for you. This is a really great series, and that's what we're going to look at. We talk about seeing the glory of the Lord. Actually, Kyle Dow, he's away. I think he's at Hillsong, is he? Yeah, he's away anyway. And he messaged me during the week to say, look, that I just heard this talk. It's absolutely fantastic. And it was when Moses was ever in front of the Lord, and he said, "Please show me your glory," right? And I thought, we hear this all the time, don't we? Like, we want to see the glory of the Lord. We want to see the glory of the Lord. And look what happens. He says, this is what Moses says to the Lord. And the Lord says, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So whenever Moses, under the old covenant, asked to see the glory of the Lord, you know how the Lord responds? With goodness, with grace, and with compassion. That's what the glory of the Lord is in your life. So if you want to see the glory of the Lord, you know what it looks like? It looks like he's good to you, he's gracious to you, and he's compassionate to you. That's freedom, folks, living in that place. And I love that. And I thought, Lord, that's what I want to see. I want to see your glory. You know, I've sung that for many years, never really understood what it meant. Show us your glory, Lord. And we kind of think it's that sort of boom, boom, Jackie Chan in the life out of the devil, kind of shout to the north, south, east, and the west. Duff, 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 duff. All right? I've lost my teeth. All right? But it's not. The glory of the Lord is his goodness, his grace, and his compassion. And what we're going to see is Paul is going to keep pulling the church back to that place where the glory of the Lord is his goodness, his grace, and his compassion, who Jesus is and what he has done. And so let's decide. Will we decide? You know, I don't like these sort of introductory talks because I have to set the scene. But we have to decide today that we're going to choose to keep it really simple. Okay? For all our fears, for all our worries, for all our anxieties, for all the things that we're carrying, for all the dreams and hopes that we have in our heart, let's do a poll, will we? And go, I'm choosing. I'm deciding. I'm making a judgment to mentally see. That's what he says. I do. I'm going to mentally perceive Jesus, who he is and what he has done. Amen? So shall we get into it? Awesome. So if you get your Bibles out, if you do have them, remember, if you update your Facebook in the next 20 minutes, you'll make the baby Jesus cry, okay? So let's lean in and listen, all right? That's it. Do they do that in America? When you go to preach and you see the people then update their Facebook statuses? Oh, well, he does, doesn't he? Because he wants you to listen, all right? So here's the age-old issue. I'm sitting around the pool on my holiday, and our wee Hope, who's six, is a born sunbather. You know, for me, I'm a head to foot in factor 50. And, if I had one of those hats, I'd put them on. So don't lie. I burnt my baldy spot, which is fine. You don't actually realize till you get into the shower, and then your head goes really sore. And I'm sitting around the pool, and our kids were jumping in and out and having an absolute whale of a time. And I found myself getting really hot at the side. And we Hope said to me, said, "Daddy, do you know what I do? I put my towel over me, and then when I get too hot, I just go and I dip my feet." Right, at six, like she's a pro, right? I dip my feet, and it cools me so much down, really girly. And then I'm able to go back, and I take my towel off, and then I just keep doing that. So she was saying to me, "Daddy, go and dip your feet, will you? Because you're sweaty and horrible lying there." All right? Now, the pool was pretty big, the big pool, and there's many different sides to it, but no matter where we put our kids in and we put our feet in, the effect was exactly the same. And for some of you today, you're going to go, "Well, actually, I might have heard some of this before. I understand about grace. I understand the law. I understand the purpose of the law. I understand how in this book we're going to see the role of the law contextualized in the revelation of Jesus. So I can get very theological if you want me to do that." But you know what the Lord said to me, actually? He said, "Andrew, see, for you," he said, "no matter where you come at this pool, when you put your feet in it, it's going to cool you down. And some of you need to put your feet in the pool. Some of you need to dive into this pool and cool down a little bit. And it doesn't matter where you're going to come at it from, it's going to have the same effect, okay? So you might have put your feet in the pool before, but after it took about 15 minutes for me to be burning up again, and I needed to go back. And in this series on grace, okay, that's what you're going to have to do. Because we're going to see Paul really go at it. And it's how grace works itself out in the context of normal people like you and me. Now, what we're also going to see is this, is grace is not a namby-pamby thing. It's not like an anything goes under grace. You know, I'm free to do whatever I want, including sin. And it also doesn't mean that you become a doormat for people. "Oh, I'm under grace, so I can't say anything." That's not what it's about at all. The big central theme in the book of Galatians is this. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. No longer subject to a yoke of slavery. All right? It was for your freedom. Now, the implication is really simple. If you're not finding Christ, who he is and what he has done, then you're under bondage. That's as simple as Paul's going to make it here. Have you ever thought about that for yourself? Every day that you get up and you try your best for the Lord, you're putting yourself under bondage. He's going to explain that. Every day that you grit your teeth and say, Lord, another day I'm going to try really hard, he says, you're under bondage. Because if you're not in Christ, you're under slavery. I mean, it's as binary as that. It's as black and white as that. There's no shades of gray in this. And that Paul's going to explain it. It has to be Jesus who he is and what he did. If you're not there, you're in bondage. There is no other way. There's no halfway house. In fact, eleuthero is the word he uses here for freedom. It was for eleuthero that Christ has set you free. What that means is that he has released you from the restriction of sin into true spiritual liberty. That's what he's talking about. So actually, when you start to dig into that word, you go, true spiritual liberty is only found in Christ. Only. And it's not just coming to be saved, get saved in the meeting. It's how you live from that point. It's what goes on from that point. Over these next 6 months, are you going to choose to be free from the restriction of sin, free from the restriction of everything that bondage brings on you, and just choose Jesus every day? To stop the trying and start the trusting. To stop trying to really work it out yourself and actually get to that place where you go, Lord, let your perfect love cast out every bit of fear in my life. Because that's what he's going to talk about. He said here that, you know, in Christ, there's freedom from the restriction of sin, but we don't seem to see it that way. Sin and bondage restricts us, but we think that we're actually working for our own freedom. You know, every day when you get up and you go, I'm not going to trust the Lord with my money. You know, I'm not going to be a giver because actually I need to hang on a wee bit. You put yourself under bondage. Because if it's not Christ and what he's done, The only other thing is bondage. And that's why Paul goes hammer and tongs at this. That's why he goes really, really hard at it. It's about being free from self, free from sin, and free from every restriction that we put on ourselves. So if you desire to see God's glory in your life, his goodness and his grace, liberty and freedom, how's it going to happen? Well, let's read it, okay? Because at the start of this book, in chapter 1, I'm going to read a wee bit from the message. He just kind of goes, what about you? Everyone okay? You know, that sort of general introduction. Hello, blessings and all that sort of stuff. And then he goes, right, let's get stuck in. He says, I can't believe your fickleness. This is awesome. How easily you've turned traitor to him who called you by the grace of Christ by embracing a variant message. It's not a minor variation. You know, listen to this. It is completely other, an alien message, a no message. It's a lie about God. That lie is you need to do in order for God to do for you. You need to bring in order for God to move. That is the law. And what Paul's going to say is that's a lie about God in the context of the new covenant. All right? Listen. Those who are provoking this agitation among you are turning the message of Christ on its head. Let me be blunt. If one of us, even if an angel from heaven, were to preach something other than what we preached originally, let him be cursed. I said it once, like he's really going for it. I'm going to say it again. If anyone, it doesn't matter what size their TV ministry is, it doesn't matter how many books they sell, it doesn't matter how many people go to their conferences, what Paul is saying is this. If anyone comes and turns this message of Jesus on its head and says that you need to in order for, then let them be cursed because there's no other gospel. Okay? Pretty strong language. If anyone, regardless of their reputation, regardless of their credentials, preaches something other than what you received originally, let him be cursed. So this whole book is going to be principally concerned with the Mosaic law, okay, and its context in the light of what Jesus has done. And he gets straight to the point. He goes, Flip, I'm really astonished. He says, what the flip happened with you people? Right? There was this group called the Judaizers, a religious sect. And what they had done is they had gained influence in the church, and they sought to make adherence to the law a requirement for being a Christian. And you kind of think, well, they were talking about circumcision. Now, thank God there's not too many churches in Belfast that they go, come be part of our church. Oh, by the way, drop them. Okay, you know what I mean? Because that church would be fairly empty. All right? And so we kind of look at that and we go, well, actually, we're not going to be circumcising people, so it doesn't really apply. But get to the heart of it. What Paul is saying is people come into the church, and what they do is they go, you have to add to what Jesus has done. And you think, well, I don't do that in my life. Yes, you do. We all do it. What we think is in those moments of sitting on the sofa watching Pool Dark, when it goes round in our head, or we're in church, or we're in work, right? Rather than being conscious and choosing, what does Jesus say about this? What does the Lord say? What has he done about my sickness? What has he done about my provision? We get into, what do I need to do? And that, outside of the revelation of Jesus and who he is, puts you back under bondage. That's what Paul is saying. God, I've lived like that for many years. Have you not? Do you understand what that's like? It's tiring, isn't it? It's frustrating. You end up depending on people who let you down. You end up depending on yourself and your own ups and downs. No matter how hard we try at times, it just doesn't seem to work out. Anyone? I'm not a failure by saying that's just real life. And what Paul is saying is you've gone away from what you first received. That's not the gospel. Jesus never comes and says, try harder. He says, try less and receive more. That's what he says. He says, I don't need you to try. I need everything that you do to come out of receiving. And that blows our mind. It offends us. We go, no, seriously, I need to bring to the Lord. And the Lord says, no, you don't. You just need to come and to receive and then. Yeah? So that's what he's going to go in. He says, look, you know, I'm going to say something here, you know, because his tone is really strong. And this is AD 49 that he's writing this. For those of you who know, this is only a matter of years. Who's been a Christian for more than 15, 20 years? All right? Then this book's for you. Do you know why? Because he was writing this to a book of people who were living 15 to 20 years after the death of Jesus. Isn't it amazing how quick we can go back to the old way of doing things? This wasn't written 100 years. This was one of the first books actually written in the New Testament. Only about 16 years after the death of Christ. I've been a Christian for longer than that. And here's Paul writing, going, you started off well, the church in Galatia. What happened? Can you ask yourself that question? Many of us started off really well. And as we go through and we go through, something happens. And we start to take it back onto ourselves. And we need to work it out. And he's going, no, don't do that. Don't fall into that trap, because you're going to put yourself into bondage. In fact, one of the interesting things is, although he is really, really strong here, it's not about punishing or castigating. He's actually calling them higher. Can I say to you this morning, whenever we get through this book, it's about the Lord and Paul's heart to lift you higher. You see, Paul, he goes on to explain it here in chapter 1. He says, have you heard of my former life in Judaism? How I persecuted the church of God violently and I tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism way beyond my own age amongst my people. I was so zealous was I for the traditions of my father. Now, here was a guy who was so deep into killing the gospel, destroying this very message, and we're going to look at that in Galatians chapter 4, because every time you preach grace, the law comes against it. That's the struggle that you have. Okay, and Paul's going to describe that. But he said, listen, I understand. I was so deep into what I need to do for God. I was so deep into every tradition being met, every system being in place, every dot over my I's and every T crossed. I knew that better than anyone. In fact, I was so good at it, I advanced way beyond anyone my age. And that's why he is so strong. I just want to encourage you. If you're sitting in this room going, I don't, whatever. I think those people who've experienced radical grace understand why they fight for it. If you've never experienced grace, it's kind of cheap, really. It's just a theological thing. I know for Penny and I, we have gone to hell and back for this church over this message, because when we encountered grace and we encountered Jesus, who he is and what he has done, it changed us forever. And that's why we never moved. That's why, despite everything that went on in this place, we didn't stop, because when you taste it, you know there's nothing else. And so if I can encourage you this morning, if you're sitting here going, well, this isn't really landing with me, it's probably because you haven't really experienced it. But the Lord will always speak to you to call you higher so that you do. Because when, this is what Paul said. He said, don't go back to that nonsense. Go back to slavery. Why would you do that? That's why he goes, I'm astonished. I just can't believe it. Like, duh. He probably didn't do that, actually. But what he could have done. Who knows? But that's why he's going, look, do you not understand what you're trying to do in order to bring your stuff to the Lord? I was way better at it than you. You would never have kept up with me. For everything you think you're brilliant at, I was 10 times better. I was head and shoulders above. In fact, I was so good, I persecuted the people who came against me. I had a reputation for it. People trembled whenever they heard the name Paul coming, because they knew I would kill you. So what are you thinking? Listen to me. I have been there, bought the T-shirt. I have done it all. It doesn't work. That's what he's going to go on to say. What do you see? He's saying that if it's not about all the unmerited favor of Jesus, then it's nothing. Paul's reaction was this. Honest to God, don't mess with this gospel. Do not mess with it. It's not a minor issue. It was not a simple message or simple issue of theology for Paul. That's what people do today, don't they? Oh, this grace gospel, it's kind of interesting, but I'm sort of more into Bethel. Shut up. Well, I just really like that conference. Well, good belief for you. I mean, I'm being a wee bit harsh there, maybe. But you know, but I kind of go, listen, hold on. This is not about this being right and this being wrong. Paul cuts through all that and goes, there's no other message, folks. That's it. I mean, we need to go back sometimes. Go, there actually is no, he says it himself. He says, you're turning to a different gospel. And he goes, not that there is one, but whatever you're creating, that's not the heart of it. My goodness, why would you put yourself back under slavery? Why would you go back to that place? Why would you carry the weight and the burden that Jesus died to take away from you so that you could live free? John 8:36, if he sets you free, you are free indeed. He that the Son sets free, eleuthero, is removed from every restriction of sin, every restriction of death, is taken away from the believer in Christ. Now, what on earth is going through your heads, your loaf, to make you want to go back there? That's what he's trying to say. And I, when I think about that, I kind of go, I know that, because even in my life, whenever I start to feel that tension, I start to feel that weight over provision and ministry and everything else, I kind of go, God, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to carry that burden. I don't want to feel the weight of it. I don't want to feel the worry of it. Anyone? That's why we've got to choose Christ, who he is and what he's done, and let everything flow from there. Oh, I love that. And so he goes on to say then, if it's not the unmerited favor of Jesus, he says it was called by grace, unmerited favor, who he is and what he did, then it's nothing at all. No halfway house. And if you want to nullify, he's going to go on to talk about nullifying grace in your life and nullifying the work of Jesus, not by turning away, but by simply trying to get something that's given freely by trying to earn it. But that's for a few weeks. In verses 8 and 9, he said, but even if an angel of heaven could preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one that you received, let him be the curse. Let him be accursed. There's a thing going on here in Greek where he's going, I'll keep it real simple, but basically what he's doing, he's going, right, listen, I said it to you. I said it to you. Have you ever found yourself saying this to your kids? Have I not said to you? Maybe it's just my kids who are awful. No, they're not. They're great. 15 times a day. Did I not say to you? Okay, now think about that as a parent, what's going on in your head. I explained this to you because it's really simple and it's going to help you, isn't that right? Please stop hitting your sister, as an example, all right? Had a really funny moment, actually, with our Ben. I'll just tell you this. You just think, Ben, please, because this was in my head when I was thinking about this, but Ben, please stop winding up your sisters, because he's 13 and they're 6, and he just loves to wind them up. And Hope has these two wee bunnies, and she calls them Nummy. If we ever lose Nummy, we're in trouble. I have to move house, and because you know what it's like with kids when they get really attached. Heard this almighty. Now this was after the 15th time of me saying to Ben, "Leave your sisters alone," because we're in the caravan. It's all getting a bit claustrophobic, you know. And I heard this almighty ruction from inside, and it was Hope. Ah, I mean, she's wee, but she can scream, and you know, big lungs on her. And I came in, and Ben was sitting on the bench, and he had put Nummy's whole head in his mouth. Right? And he was going, I'm going to bite it. I'm going to. And she was like, no! Yeah! And I'm going, get the Nummy out of your mouth. And he's like, so he takes one out and puts the other one and goes, look, Hopey, ah! Like, remember like Ozzy Osbourne when he used to apparently bite bats? He was doing Ozzy Osbourne with her Nummies, right? And I found myself going, did I not say to you? And then I went, I probably haven't said to you, don't bite the heads off the Nummies. But what I did say was, stop winding your sisters up. Have I not done this already? Totally frustrated, right? And you get that tone with Paul. He said, and some of you might have heard this before, but he's going, listen, have I not said to you before, for goodness sake, it's this really strong calling up to go, don't do this. Don't put yourself back under it. You will be tired and exhausted. And most importantly, there will be a lack of fruit in your tiredness. And that will leave you frustrated with God and with people. And you will turn from this gospel at some point because you'll go, it just doesn't work. God knows how hard I've tried, and if you're in that position, I know. But the Lord says to you this morning, there's a better way. get out of bondage, even bondage to ministry. Let me tell you something. Some people are in bondage to the idea that God called me, but now I've got to do. No, you don't. And God knows we have learned this lesson over the last number of years. If he called you, he'll open it. If he called you, he'll bless it and multiply it. If he called you, he'll make it fruitful. And all your effort and hard work will not make a difference. You're just in bondage and you're in slavery. Slavery to your own effort to move the hand of God. And he doesn't get moved by you. He gets moved by love for his people. That's good news for somebody, isn't it? When I hear this, I just feel the release coming in me to go, it's not that I sit in my backside drinking mojitos and listening to Chris Tomlin music all day, all right? I don't like mojitos. But I actually do. I work pretty hard. I work very hard. But it's from a place of rest and fruitfulness, seeing God open and bless and multiply. And that's what he's saying to you today. Seriously, what are you doing if you're operating from a place of bondage? Because that was never the gospel that you received. Never, ever. Okay, just got about an hour to go, and then we're... That visitor there is absolutely... I woke you up. And so he said, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Let me be really clear. I've got about 5 minutes. How many times, folks, are we going to need to keep hearing this message? When we get into chapter 2, it's just flipping brilliant. We keep dipping our feet in this pool of grace. Some of us need to jump right into it. And you might have been in the pool here on this side. I might be bringing you in from this side. But the pool will cool you down. It'll remind you again that this gospel is such a gospel of good news to free you and to release you. It was for freedom. Don't lose sight of that. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. It was for freedom. Free from restriction. Free from bondage. Free from slavery. Free from weight. Free from worry. Free from burden. Can I go, really? Really? That's just, it's too good to be true. I kind of think that's the gospel. I honestly think that is the gospel. It's not a come and sit and do whatever you want with whoever you want, whenever you want. It's actually come and find real freedom and real rest. And let everything that you do in your life come from that place. And it will be fruitful and blessed and multiplied way more than you can ever do. That's good news. Let me finish by saying this point. I love this. And I love that because this is the heart of our church. You know, whenever Paul was in the middle, he said, let me read it again. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age amongst my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to what? Reveal his son to me, verses 13 and 14. What we're going to find as we go through this book, and this is the heart of Exchange Church, is that our job is to reveal Jesus. When you are in that place where you're caught in that performance trap, what does it please the heart of the Father to do? Because that's what Paul, now here's Paul, and he's in it way more than anybody else. I need to do in order for God. If I don't keep, the more I keep, the more God blesses. The more I mess up, the more he pulls away. In that performance mentality. God loves me when I'm good, not so much when I'm not so good. And so the love of God is on that kind of meter of when I'm good, he loves me, and when I'm not good, he doesn't love me at all. Okay? Now what does the Father do for us whenever you're in that place? Does he come along and go, for goodness sake, Stuart, you need to try harder, man. You need to go, David, onto a plan to sort out these character issues. You need to, you know, start to be more accountable. You too. Because this is a pattern, we need to break it. You need to try harder. You too. Okay? Does he do any of that? What does he do? See these little details that we... What did it please the heart of the Father to do? Was this simple thing, was to reveal Jesus. Yeah. See that? Oh, I love it. So the antidote for performance is Jesus, who he is and what he did every single time. You know, for many of us, we feel like, well, the way that this is going to work and the way I'm going to see more blessing in my life is that I'm going to work harder, I'm going to do more, I'm going to get better, I'm going to read the books, go to the conferences, do all that sort of stuff. And then he describes it something really amazing. He says, when you're in law, bondage, performance, weight, heaviness, and burden, the Father is just going to be so pleased to bring you to a place where you see Jesus. Because in that place, it all changes. And we're going to reveal Jesus over these next few weeks. But can I encourage you this week? Whatever you have going on, think about my thing with City this week, where I simply just went, actually, Jesus, in that place, I need to let this go and trust that if this is for me, then it's coming back to me. If it's not, then I'm letting it go, and I'm choosing to rest. I'm choosing to trust. I'm choosing to stop pushing, choosing to stop not manipulating, but trying to make it happen. I'm choosing actively to not do that so that you can move and love me. And that's what he did. See, every time, that's what the Lord does. Continually reveals Jesus, continually reveals Jesus, continually. He doesn't reveal how to try harder. He doesn't reveal how to work harder. He doesn't reveal the 10 steps to glory. He reveals his Son in his all his work, all his glory, and all his beauty to you. So this week, my encouragement to you is this. He's not going to reveal theology to you. He's going to reveal Jesus, his Son. Take time this week to sit and just allow the Lord to love you. Remember when I said about praying, it's where we bring our humanness and we exchange it for faith. That's what actually Jesus described prayer as, ex eunomai. I bring my fear, I bring my worry, I bring my stuff, and I just sit there and rest. I think about who you are, and I put my mind to that, and you give me faith instead. That's what happens when we pray, okay? Do that this week. And where you're worrying about something and you're being burdened about something, make the active decision to go, I'm not even going to think about it. It'll freak you out. For those of you who are under law, it freaks you out. But what if I'm going to have to remind Jesus every morning? Really, remember that? We really need to pray about this. Really? Why has Jesus forgotten? Really need to pray? Really? Think it's going to move him to love you anymore? Or does he just want you to get out of that and come and rest? Oh, that's a good gospel. So do that this week, because what happens is this, the antidote, if you like, for law and performance and for trying really hard and never feeling like we're quite making it, is simply not more law and performance, but it's Jesus who frees you from all of it. It pleased the heart of the Father to reveal Jesus to me. Oh man, I love that. So everything that he's going to talk about in the rest of this book is Jesus revealed. It's Jesus revealed from this point. So let me finish by just saying this. The last thing he says is from my mother's womb. It's interesting. Kind of what it means is it's always been that way. Even when you go back to the very beginning, from my mother's womb, it's not actually, he's not talking literally, he's talking about metaphorically. From the very beginning, it was always this way. Now, let me just finish by saying this point. So some people will say that, because I hear this all the time, you've got to put some limits on this, Andrew. People need the truth, brother. Not right. It's all right to preach this grace stuff, but people need a wee bit of truth, right? Because if we don't tell them the truth, they're going to end up going to the pictures, dancing, and they might even have a drink every now and again, Penny. And all I'm going to say is I really struggle to go to the recycling on holiday. And but never a drop has never touched my lips. That's all I'm saying, all right? And if you could see the look I'm getting right now. But it's interesting that people, because what goes off in our heart, and it only shows you, it only serves to, for this one point, it shows you the levels of law in your own heart. If you've sat here this morning going, ah, that's fine, but. Well, we'll answer some of the buts as we go through this series. But I want to encourage you, when you feel that but and that bit of reaction, that's what he's going to describe in Galatians chapter 4. Every time you hear the word of grace, the law comes up in us to fight against grace. And he's going to talk about Hagar and Sarah and all sorts of stuff. Really, really clever. But it helps us to understand sometimes why we struggle. But in John 1:17, and with this I leave you, don't forget this. It says this, that the law came through Moses, okay? The law came through a servant, but grace and truth came through Jesus, who's the Son, all right? I love this verse. This is one of Pastor Prince's big verses, but I love it, all right? Because what he's trying to say is this. If you want to know what the truth is, you know when you say, people need to know the truth, brother? The truth is grace. Truth is always on the side of grace, all right? Which came through a son. The law was given to a servant. And so just don't worry. Don't worry if you have a reaction today. Just take it to the Lord and ask him to reveal Jesus, who he is and what he has done for you. Every day, right? Don't sit in neutral, because if you're not doing that, you're in bondage. You're putting yourself under bondage. And he says, don't choose bondage when Christ has set you free. And he says, if you really want to know what truth is, it's on the side of grace. I love that. Law, grace, and truth. One came through a man, through a servant. The other one came through the Son itself. So what is grace is true and vice versa. Oh, not a good word. All right, so if you feel that reaction in yourself, that's okay. That's good. We're going to deal with some of those things. But I really want to encourage you that layer upon this in our hearts will work itself out. And the more we rest and receive in the love and the goodness of God, the more freedom we will see. And so the whole point of this whole series is this. Don't put yourself under a yoke of slavery again. Because it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Amen? Good word? Let Jesus be revealed this week. I'm telling you, it freaks us out. We want tell me what I need to do. I can't just let go. If anything in my life, I'm discovering the more I let go, the more I see his goodness. The more I get my feet into this pool from every angle, the more I just see in myself and I go, Lord, I feel myself doing the Paul thing. What the flip am I doing? Why would I try to carry this weight when it just doesn't help me? And it doesn't matter how talented I am, how good I am, how whatever, I can't really affect the outcome of most things. How much better just to rest as a son? Everything that's his is mine. Live from there, amen? Galatians chapter 1, folks. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Who he is, what he did, let the Spirit of God reveal Jesus to you this week. Amen? Christ alone, cornerstone, weak and made strong, in the Savior's love, through